Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at Your Financial Choices, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Our topic this evening is the Secure Act. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. And if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Lori and she'll write it down and bring it into the studio. I have a guest joining us this evening via the phone, and he is David Elowich, a CFP professional. He is a financial advisor at Elowich 3 LLC, offering comprehensive financial planning services through Lincoln Financial Corporation Advisors Corporation, a broker-dealer, member SIPC, and registered investment advisor. Elowich 3 LLC is not an affiliate of Lincoln Financial Advisors, but as a third-generation member of the firm, David takes pride in the family legacy of integrity and commitment to clients. Dave focuses on the planning process to help clients achieve their financial goals. His clientele include baby boomers looking for guidance to secure a sound retirement plan, as well as young professionals and business owners seeking to protect their family and build the foundation for a sound financial future. David is a past president of the Estate Planning Council of the Lehigh Valley, a member of the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation's Professional Advisors Council, and the treasurer of the Muhlenberg College Board of Associates. David, can you hear me?
I can, Lori. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming back. You're one of my favorite guests, and we go way back, and so happy that you could join us.
It's great to be back. I think this is my fourth time. It's kind of, amazing that I haven't stumbled over myself so much that I get to keep coming back.
Oh, you're so good. You get to keep coming back. So you're a pro at this point. And you had brought up this idea of talking about the Secure Act, which I think you're going to, you know, allude that it really has seemed to kind of got skipped over with all of the COVID, you know, distractions. So I think it's really important that we do talk about it and in a little bit more depth and to hear your insights into it as well. So I just want to mention the Secure Act is an acronym for Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement. It was signed into law on December 20th, 2019. It went into effect on January 1, 2020, and it had a number of changes to a number of our different, you know, tax laws. So I think, Dave, if we first kind of explain some of those and then the impact of them as we go through the show and then the planning opportunities as we go through the show. So if you want to kind of kick us off and you can also, you know, add any further introduction if you'd like. But if you want to kick us off on the start of our show discussing the Secure Act.
Sure. And I think it's really interesting the point that you made about COVID and other, you know, all of the news that dominated our consciousness in 2020. So, you know, starting a little over a year ago, Because from an industry standpoint, and I'm sure you saw this, just about every advisory firm, every advisor, anyone who was in the financial planning, the retirement space, understood that the SECURE Act is a sea change. And at first glance, when we talk about some of these key changes that we're going to go through in a moment, like, okay, people might shrug it off. But when you really dive into it, there are some major impacts that potentially impact generations. If legacy is important, and if for those folks who are lucky enough to have some extra dollars at the end of their life, and when we've seen changes like this in the past, a few years back when Social Security was changed, there was so much marketing around it. There were so many events and seminars you could go to. And that was, industry-wide, we were all lined up and locked and loaded to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID hit, and none of it happened. So it's been really quiet, and it's one of these things that I'm finding. I'm curious what you're seeing in your practice. People are not as familiar with the changes, with the impact that it needs to, that they should somewhat change the way they're thinking about their retirement planning from a financial standpoint. Than they would otherwise be if we had had as much education.
Right. I agree with you, Dave. And sometimes one of the key issues is people don't pay attention to things if it doesn't impact them in the moment. And they don't realize that it actually could have some long-standing impact to themselves, but it might not be for 2 years. So they don't pay attention today, but then all of a sudden 2 years from now, it could end up being a hot, item for them. And also, I'm a firm believer in kind of having generational conversations. And this is certainly, we've seen things in this act that could warrant some of those generational conversations. So I know some of the easy pickings in that SECURE Act that really impact clients that we work with are the RMD date, the contribution age, and the beneficiary changes. So do you want to just kind of give a overview? And we have our first break at 6:10, Dave, so you might just get through the first or second one, and we might have to finish those on the other side of the break, but go ahead.
All right, so let's get to it then.
Mm-hmm.
So most people know in the former, under previous law, your minimum distributions, we use the term RMD, when you have to start taking money out of a retirement plan, started at age 70 and a half. But if you were born after July 1st, 1949, then they start at age 72. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have to scramble or take the money out at 70 and a half. You have that extra 18 months. And particularly if you don't need it, what a great way to get some additional tax-deferred growth on your money.
Mm-hmm.
And people who were approaching that age, they're already, it's like you take your RMD, you're ready to go. Oh, wait a second, the law changed and I'm 69. Now I can wait a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
The other major piece is how Congress paid for that. So if you think about that and the number of people that are turning 70 and a half and the income tax that the government was forgoing, the way they paid that is that they were going to accelerate their collections on their beneficiaries. And you'll interrupt me if I come up on the 10 after time.
Mm-hmm.
But where a beneficiary used to say, well, I'm going to inherit this money, but I will use a calculation that's on the IRS website or my accountant will help me through, and I will take that money over my lifetime, so I can continue to get the benefit of tax deferral for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have 10 years to take it out. And that has some real impact depending on the income situation and the financial status of your heirs. And there's some exceptions to that. Do I have time to go through them?
We'll go through the exceptions on the other side of it, because I think it's really important for people to kind of sit with what you just said for a moment while we go to our break. And that is, number one, the required minimum distribution changed to age 72. And that affected some planning that I know that I had already done with some clients. And that this stretch IRA that people talked about, the idea of stretching it out over, your beneficiary's lifetime, has changed, and that's going to be really important. I think we want to get into a lot more detail on that. So, folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and we're talking with David Elowich of Elowich 3. Did I say that right, Dave? Elowich 3, yes, LLC. Yep. And, again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices this evening. The phone number with questions is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it in. And I am joined by David Elowich, CFP professional from Elowich 3 LLC. And we are talking about the Secure Act. And this is really one of those shows that is packed with information. We are going to be talking about some really impactful changes and what is the impact of those changes and some planning opportunities around those. So, Dave, we prior to that break, we were just talking about some of the major, well, what I would call the most impactful to individuals from the Secure Act was the change from the required minimum distribution age of 70 and a half to 72. And then you mentioned also that they changed the distribution provisions for beneficiaries of IRAs. And we were starting to talk about some of the minor exceptions. So if you want to go ahead and take over.
Sure. So what's interesting with such a new law, there's kind of new understanding and folks really getting their hand on the details. So the first exception is for a minor child. So if a minor child becomes the beneficiary of an IRA, they can take it out over their life expectancy. But there are two caveats. When they reach the age of majority, I think it's 18 in this law, mm-hmm. the new rules apply, and the 10-year clock starts. So they can stretch a few years, you know, depending on their age when it happens, they can stretch a few years, and this is something that obviously their guardians would have to figure out, but then they have to accelerate it after they reach the age of majority.
Yeah, by state, I believe, Dave, by state. So the age of majority in different states could be a different age.
Thanks for clarifying. Mm-hmm. This is why I love being on the show with you, because you know,
there are a few questions
I've had that Lori can't answer. The other thing, our the initial understanding and the interpretation of the law was that you had until the end of the 10-year period, but it didn't have to be on an annual basis. There's some recent preliminary guidance from the IRS that calls that interpretation into question, where they seem to be saying, no, you got to take 10% a year. I think I'm not sure where they're going to land on that, and that's one where I think individuals who are really are impacted by this and want to understand really want to work with a qualified CPA to make sure that they're doing things that are not going to, you know, get them in trouble.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the other piece with the minor child is it's your direct heir, so you can't say, oh, I'll name my grandchild as the beneficiary, and they'll get to stretch it.
Mm.
They have to be your children. I heard that on a webinar that I was on recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, as you mentioned up top, these seem like small details until they impact your family. Or you, and then they become very important to understand.
Well, and planning that you may have already done, because I know that I have had a number of discussions with, you know, older clients whose children absolutely do not need the money. And the thought was, well, let's name the grandchildren as beneficiaries. And, you know, the parents are the guardians for a while, and they could have stretched it out over, you know, 80 years. But that's not the case. So that planning gets scrapped, and you have to start over.
And for a family like that, where the term I use is a leave on asset as opposed to live on, where a family has leave on assets in their retirement plans, those retirement plans are great wealth accumulators during their lifetime, but at death they can become substantial tax generators.
Mm-hmm.
And if legacy is a priority, when I think we're going to talk about it towards the second half, there are more efficient ways to pass legacy down, or at least options to consider if this really is money you don't need to live on. And I do think I short-circuited the list, so I want to go back. The other exceptions are for chronically ill individuals, and I'm sure there's a definition exactly what that means to the IRS mind, and an individual who's not more than 10 years younger than the deceased, so someone who in the IRS's eyes is not going to have a life expectancy substantially longer than the original owner of the plan. That's similar, you know, to naming a spouse as a beneficiary.
And what about, we've talked about IRAs and the tax implications of that could be. And again, in this segment, we're just kind of giving the high level big takeaways from the bill. And we're going to talk about further implications and planning around some of this as we go through the show. But IRAs, this applies to. What about Roth IRAs?
Well, and this is interesting because, you know, intuitively you would say, well, this is being done so that the IRS can pay for this extension of the R&D. That's kind of how it was, at least how I originally understood it. So you would think that Roth accounts wouldn't apply because there's no income tax when a beneficiary takes them out. But that's inaccurate. Roth accounts do have the same distribution provisions over time, and that is not as impactful from a tax standpoint to your heirs. You know, if you're leaving money to someone who doesn't need it and happens to be in a high tax bracket at the time of your passing, the Roth isn't going to impact it as much. But the family will lose the tax deferral at that point. And, you know, for years we talked about the ultimate wealth accumulation tool or you know, legacy tool. I don't want to say the ultimate, but a very strong legacy tool was this idea of the stretch Roth. That if I can get money into a Roth and I can keep it there for decades, that's going to be really powerful from a tax efficiency standpoint. And if I can leave it to the generations, it's going to be efficient. That's not available anymore.
Right. It's going to accelerate the distribution of that and then turn that possibly into other tax dollars. And that's one of the ways the IRS is going to accelerate the, you know, collecting more taxes, I would say, from some of these retirement accounts. There was something else I was going to say about, going back to your point, too, about this latest article that said the IRS came out and it's not as clear. We thought, as practitioners, that 10-year rule was anything goes in 10 years, meaning some people could take it all out in the first year, some people could take it out in the 10th year, some people could take it out 1/10 a year, some people could take it out, you know, in the 5th, 6th, 7th. You know, we thought we had so much flexibility. And now there's this little shadow of, like, maybe we're not interpreting that correctly. And if they do it, you know, 1/10 a year, that really also can significantly impact someone's planning. And I'm hoping that they at least give us at least give us that 10 years of flexibility. Because I said, if you've got people who are inheriting, let's say at age 65 from their 85-year-old, you know, parent who still had assets in an IRA, they might still be working, and then that could be really burdensome to them. But if they could wait and do it at any time in that 10 years, that would give them a little bit more flexibility to maybe take that inherited IRA money out after they retire or something like that. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I really hope they clarify that. We are at our second break, and if our listeners have questions, you can call and talk on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking on air, just give your question to Lori C. And the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we're talking with David Ellowich, CFP professional from Ellowich 3 LLC. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. You can also stream our stream live at WDIY.org or visit past shows under Public Affairs on WDIY.org. My guest this evening is David Ellowich, CFP professional. He's a financial advisor with Ellowich 3 LLC, and we are discussing the Secure Act. We've kind of gone over a few of the highlights, you know, really individual impact. There was a lot in the Secure Act, but we're kind of hitting on probably some of the top areas for individuals. And Dave, I want to just make sure that we also mention that the another change that was in there is prior to this act, if someone reached age 70 and a half and were still working and they were eligible to contribute to an IRA, you know, meeting all the other, you know, qualifications, they could no longer contribute to an IRA after age 70 and a half. And they did update that and change that. And that was great because we do have a lot of people who still continue to work after age 70 and a half. So as long as you meet all of the qualifications, earned income, that type of thing, you may still continue to contribute to an IRA as long as you have earned income, regardless of age. So that was a change. And if you want to add anything to that, you're welcome to.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and you're highlighting, to my mind, the most important point of this earned income as opposed to, you know, having investment income or I sold a property. Mm-hmm. That cannot go in an IRA. Mm-hmm. But if you have earnings, it can. One of the things, though, that I would caution, I wouldn't say, oh, now all of a sudden I have access to make a contribution to a traditional IRA, so I'm going to do that, because we've always had the ability to put money into a Roth for earned income, just there was no deduction on that. So I think you really want to pay attention to your tax bracket at that point.
Mm-hmm.
If you're working beyond 70 and a half and you're doing it because it's keeping you happy, it's fulfilling, or for some reason where it's not, you're not bringing in that much money, but you have enough that you don't need, your tax bracket may be such mm-hmm. that the deduction isn't really helpful, and you may want to be able to take that money out tax-free in the future, so a Roth is better from that standpoint. And if you're concerned in any degree about legacy, again, I would much rather someone be able to inherit a Roth than a traditional where that option's available. So I agree with you. It's a great thing that has been added into the law. I just always caution that doesn't necessarily mean it's the right approach for everybody.
Well, it was extended that it could be for the IRA or the Roth, because before they couldn't do the Roth either. So there was an age cap on that as well. So now it is a great option. And I just did it this afternoon with a client who was retired and had, you know, $3,000 of wages. I said, let's throw it in the Roth. So, the Roth IRA is great. It can grow income tax free, and you know, there's little rules around it, but people should be aware. This is really an educational show, and it's about awareness and knowing what questions to ask and what to think about and what might apply to you. And these are all great ideas. So we've kind of talked about the RMD, the changes in the stretch. And Dave, we've got 5 minutes before the halfway mark. The show is going so amazingly fast. Can we dig into the details a little bit more about why we think this is a big deal and worth talking about when we talk about, you know, possibly throwing a beneficiary into a higher tax bracket if they end up inheriting one of these things and now have an accelerated distribution within 10 years?
So this really comes to something called that we call tax bracket management. And I expect that that's an important part of your accounting practice, and really solid CPAs understand this. Which is, you know, if we think about, as an example, the adjusted gross income for a married couple at $100,000 a year, they're in the 22% tax bracket, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
I came to the show without my brackets right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
If they inherit $1 million IRA, now this is an extreme example,
right,
but if they inherit $1 million, and we sure know there's people out there, let's say that shadow comes to pass and we have to take $100,000 out of here.
Mm-hmm.
What's the bracket? What happens to the bracket at $200,000?
They're in the 24%. So it wasn't as big of a jump there, but there's other things that can happen. When
you start losing deductions if you get too high, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it could impact the adjusted gross income for Medicare premiums. You start jumping those thresholds for Medicare premiums, how they're assessed based on your income.
And if you think in terms, if we go higher up, if you have well off, you know, children who are higher earners in the, you know, who, and there's, you know, plenty, the mass affluent, right?
Right.
$200,000-$300,000, where you might be adding 5 or 8% in taxes.
Right.
$8,000 a year. And it's not just the $8,000 a year in taxes this year. That's money that I don't have available to either grow and save into the future that could be compounded.
Mm-hmm.
So it really can dilute the wealth of the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And the other interesting piece here when we think about tax bracket management is not necessarily at second death if you look at married couples, because the other piece here, and here I will use the $100,000 example again. A married couple is at 22%, but a single payer at the same tax level is at 24%.
Right.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
And if you look at higher numbers, that, you know, that differential gets worse, and so a surviving spouse can end up paying substantially more in taxes, taking money out over their lifetime. I know we'll talk a little bit more about it after the next break, but that gets into really paying attention to some, if there is ability to move money from traditional into Roth, you can really save a lot of taxes for a family over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as we get into the planning, we could talk more about that. And when we talk about adding additional income and how that could impact the tax bracket, and it could impact the tax filing for a surviving spouse or for, you know, that adult child who already has tons of money. If the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act sunsets in 2026, we could have different kinds of impact as well, because then we might be going back to people itemizing, and that's where there might be some more of this reduction. If someone has medical expenses and now we have more income, so if it's, you know, only over a certain percentage of your adjusted gross income, and now your adjusted gross income is higher, now your medical expenses, you don't get to deduct as much. So there could be a bit of a snowball effect on any of these items that we're talking about. Folks, we're at the halfway point. We are talking with David Elowich, CFP professional from Elowich 3 LLC. We're talking about the Secure Act, some of the, you know, high-level changes and the impact of those, and we're going to talk about some of the further planning opportunities that we may have. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Current temperature in the Lehigh Valley is 58 degrees, going down to 45 tonight. Tomorrow, Thursday, mostly sunny, 63, looks very pleasant. Thursday night, 42. For Friday, a 50% chance of showers, mainly after 2 p.m., partly sunny, 64 degrees. Friday night, a 60% chance of showers, 43. For Saturday, a 40% chance of showers, partly sunny, 59. And Saturday night, 40 degrees. Lori, I wish you a Feliz Cinco de Mayo.
Thank you, John. Welcome back, folks. You are listening to Your Financial Choices, and I have on the phone with me David Elowich, CFP professional from Elowich 3 LLC, and we're kind of digging into some of the aspects of the SECURE Act. We may not be able to cover everything that we want to cover, but Dave, I thought it would be important that we make sure that we kind of get into some of the planning opportunities, and I heard you say kind of at the end of that last segment something about might there be opportunities for, I think you were alluding to Roth conversions if you didn't fully say Roth conversions. So can we talk about some of the options that people could manage the tax changes, the tax bracket management that you've mentioned?
Sure, and I think if I can take one step back,
sure.
You started talking about kind of the political moment that we're in, and I'm not making any political commentary with what I'm about to say,
right.
But just the reality is, if you look at where our income tax rates were and estate tax rates were over the last 100 years, we're at the lowest point in history.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen historic deficit spending in response to the coronavirus, and it's looking like there's going to be some additional spending coming on board within the next year or so, in the trillions potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I point that out is to say at some point the bill is going to come due, and the government's going to have to find a way to pay for the spending, and the way they do that is by raising taxes. If you keep that in mind as you're doing this planning and thinking about Roth conversions and some of the other techniques available, this isn't necessarily a bad time to realize some taxes and pay taxes at these rates, particularly if you save you from paying taxes at what potentially will be the next iteration of the tax code. It's possible, it's not certain, but in my mind it's likely we're looking at the lowest income tax scenario for decades,
right?
That we will see. And I understand from a political standpoint people could disagree with me, but I certainly don't think taxes are going down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone's going to choose to pay a tax in 2021 and say, oh, if I had waited till 2023, my tax rate would have been lower.
Mm-hmm.
All things being equal in their income situation.
Right.
So, and I'm sure you've discussed this many times on the show, the general concept with a Roth conversion is I take money that's in a traditional IRA, I sign a form, it moves into a Roth IRA, and the amount that I've transferred, I get a 1099 at the end of the year, I pay income taxes, it's now in a Roth, and it grows tax-free forever, and it comes out tax-free,
mm-hmm.
and it goes to my heirs tax-free. So, the point I was making on the bracket management with, if you just look at a married couple, it's the reality, of course. You have a married couple in retirement. They're not going to be around forever. That's the human condition. And when one of them is the survivor, if their income level stays the same, they're going to pay more tax for the same income.
Mm-hmm.
So it can make sense to say, you know what, I'm going to do a conversion every year and move the money to Roth. I'll pay the taxes now, and I'll be in a better situation, or the survivor of the two will be a better situation. They won't have that tax penalty.
Mm-hmm.
This, t- to my mind, gets into where the CPAs like yourself can really provide a lot of value by having the conversation in September, October, looking at, well, what's the trend of your income? Where are you going to land? If you're in the 24% tax bracket, well, how much more dollars do you have before we go to the next one? And what's your tax budget to do this conversion? You're now in that in that environment by exercising that technique. You are creating more completely tax-free available assets during your lifetime, which also will be tax-free when it goes to the next generation. Mm-hmm. So I think Roth conversions have, it's been something I think our industry has been looking at for years. But I believe that given the dynamic situation of our, you know, of the current tax code, it warrants a closer look. Because a lot of times in the past, you know, you'd run the numbers and you say, you pay the tax now versus pay it later, it might be a push. To my mind, if it's a push, given the odds that you might, if it's a push in the current tax code, you might be much happier doing it now and not worrying so much about what the next tax round of tax increases are. Mm-hmm. Not a certainty, but it's certainly a percentage game that might make sense playing and certainly running the numbers on.
Right. I often talk about, you know, making the best decision you can with the information you have available at the time. And, you know, if you are in a low tax bracket, this certainly is something worth looking at. And I think it's interesting, Dave, you said to make sure to look at this like in the last quarter. And, you know, without saying it, I know one of the reasons why we now have to look at it in the last quarter of the year is because we used to be able to change our mind about a Roth conversion, and we can't change our mind anymore. So that's just a little asterisk on this conversation. And it goes to show how tax legislation does change from year to year, and then it changes the planning opportunities that we may have. So when we talk about these things, which is so exciting why we've been able to have this show and have guests like you come on, you know, from time to time to get all these different perspectives, is because the laws do change and the planning changes and your circumstances change. This isn't something you do once and done. It's a continual visit to the strategies that you may be able to implement. And, you know, I love that we have WDIY to kind of share these stories, because you have clients, Dave, that come to you to have you help with this. And I have clients, but there are a lot of people out there who may not have an advisor who is kind of helping them navigate this and know all the nuances. And it really can make a big difference.
And I think it really underscores the value of advice and the value of developing relationships with professionals who get to know you and understand the priority. And we actually, you know, we always counsel from an investment standpoint, right? Like, don't respond to the headline. Mm-hmm. For the most part, in March, April, when we had the really horrific pullback, which turned out not to last nearly as long as anyone feared, you know, most of my job at that point was just keeping people from being emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, we've planned for this. The folks who had a short-term time horizon, we have cash, we have other bumpers in your plan, it's okay. And the folks who are younger and have a time horizon, don't get out. It doesn't feel good, but we've talked about this. And you got to stick around. There's really nothing to do from an allocation standpoint. I mean, from a getting out standpoint, maybe you did some reallocation on the way down and things there. But the folks who are really able to take advantage of that, and mm-hmm. you know, when things go wrong, there's fear, but there's also opportunity. The folks who are able and nimble enough to do a Roth conversion in March or April, mm-hmm. When their portfolio was down 50% from its value, they did that Roth conversion and they got a 50% discount on their taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just speaks to having professionals in your life who understand where you are and are aware of how to help you take advantage when things go a little crazy and something that hasn't happened for a few generations comes along, but can help you react to it well.
Mm-hmm. Dave, I have a caller on line one with a tax question. So if you can excuse me for a minute. Charles, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. How can I help you?
So I'm wondering, this may not be the topic you're discussing at this point, but it relates to a bill that was passed that provided us the $1,400 checks and also forgave the taxes paid on unemployment income for 2020.
The American Rescue Plan.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I filed electronically early enough so they would electronically deposit the $1,400. But I wanted to know if I have to file an amended 2020 return to get my taxes returned that I'd already paid last year on unemployment.
Okay, so the IRS had indicated to us that they are going to review those tax returns, make those adjustments, and issue the refunds for anyone who reported 100% of the unemployment income who would have been eligible to exempt $10,200 of that unemployment. So if someone received $30,000 of unemployment and their income was $150,000 or less, then they would get an exemption of $10,200. If your unemployment was $5,000 and your income, adjusted gross income was $150,000 or less, then you'll be exempted the full $5,000. So it's up to $10,200 if you meet the income limits, but the IRS has indicated that they will adjust for it and issue you a check or possibly do direct deposit if that's what you had indicated on your return. So you might have to watch for that in your bank account.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for the question. Good question. Have a good night. So we are back with David Elowich, CFP professional from Elowich 3, and we are talking about the Secure Act, and you were just making some really good points, Dave, about decisions about the timing of doing Roth conversions and when does it make sense. And I just wanted to add that I know over the years I've done quite a bit of planning for people who are pre-age 70 and a half, now age 72 for the required minimum distribution. I have clients who may be very charitably inclined and making annual charitable gifts that when they itemized got a benefit from that, but then when they raised the standard deduction, weren't getting the benefit from it. But once someone is age 70 and a half, there is something called a qualified charitable distribution, which you can take out of an IRA. We can talk about that in a minute. The point I'm trying to make is pre that age, when I have people who have been making regular contributions, they really weren't getting the benefit of that charitable deduction. So what we did is we kind of bundled them up, and you could either use appreciated securities or cash to make a contribution to a donor-advised fund and kind of lump that big deduction all at once so that they could get the full benefit of it. And Dave, that's one of the other areas where we were looking. Does it make sense to do a Roth conversion to marry that with that larger charitable contribution that they were going to be eligible for? So that was something else we were doing. There's a lot of planning ideas around this stuff.
And you also probably did that where, if folks have other investments that may have embedded losses, mm-hmm. Where you might intentionally realize a loss to marry that to the Roth conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And just translating that to English, that's, if you own, whether it's a stock, a piece of real estate, or a business, and the value today is less than your cost basis, when you sell it, you get a loss that you can you deduct against your income, your capital gains. When mm-hmm. depends on what your investment income and where things are coming, but you can, depending on your overall picture, you can not. Charity is a great way to do it, but there's other ways to mitigate the tax impact of a Roth conversion in the current year and get all of this long term benefit from doing.
Mm-hmm. Dave, we're at our last break. The show has gone so fast, so I want to make sure that when we come back, we kind of circle the wagons around everything we've talked about, come away with the big takeaways for people and close the loop on anything we missed talking about. And we'll do that after this next break. The phone number, if you have questions, is 610-758-8810 or email through yourfinancialchoices.com. Back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Psst! Did you know your phone is a radio? You can tune into WDIY anywhere on the go with WDIY's new phone app. Download for free from the Apple or Google Store, and your phone will become your trusted radio. The easy-to-use app lets you listen to WDIY on your phone live and access your favorite music shows on demand. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family, and introduce them to many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. And I am joined via phone with David Elowich, CFP professional. He's a financial advisor at Elowich 3 LLC. Dave, we're talking about the Secure Act tonight. And, you know, we have about 16 minutes. Wait, is that? No, 14 minutes, 13 minutes. Let's make sure that we cover, you know, the anything that we haven't missed, because the show has gone so fast, I'm afraid that we might leave something out. So I want to make sure that we both get our bearings and
sure,
check off the list of everything we wanted to share tonight.
Thanks for the note on how much time we have to make sure we get to it. I think where there's real opportunity, this is important information for everyone to know. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Where there's real opportunity are for the folks who are fortunate enough to have leave on assets. I mentioned this before. Live on assets in retirement plans. This is the money you need to live. And if your retirement assets you expect are going to be what you're going to be living on, and there's not a whole lot extra, a lot of what I'm about to say doesn't apply. But for those folks who have been fortunate enough to come to a point in their life and in retirement where they're confident they have substantial extra, and leaving a financial legacy is important, then there's some really powerful planning techniques. And looking at how life insurance can fit into your overall plan here makes a lot of sense. So I'll just give one or two examples there. Mm-hmm. So instead of a Roth conversion, which makes sense. And the other point I would make is it's very important when doing this planning, when you say that these are leave-on assets, you really need to do some solid analysis and be very, very confident that you're not gifting away or using money from a generational standpoint and wish you could have a do-over in 20 years.
Right.
And if you're concerned about that, maybe stop at the Roth conversion. You've saved taxes, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But another option is to say, I'm going to take my money out of the IRA, and maybe it'll be my RMDs, or maybe you'll accelerate, take more than you need. And then if you gift that money into trust and let the trust buy life insurance on you, now you have an asset. Life insurance proceeds are tax-free. There's no income tax when it's paid to you. And if it's held in trust, it could be managed in such a way that there's no death tax either. And there's certainly no rule that says that you have to take it out within 10 years. So if I can take some money of some of my very tax-inefficient assets, move it over into a vehicle that has all of the protections that a well-drafted trust does, and that will own life insurance, now I'm getting a legacy to my heirs that, when you do the analysis on a net after-tax basis, is substantially more valuable to them than simply inheriting the IRA. And there are, there are some folks who say, hey, I raised my kids, fed them, educated them, did whatever, and if there's anything left, then they can have it, but I'm not that concerned.
Mm-hmm.
There are also many people, I'm sure you know in your practice, who are really concerned to get as much as they can to the next generation or the generation. You know, I have a colleague who says that he works with clients who like their kids and love their grandkids, right? So you can do this part of your grandkids. You can also, an interesting technique, again, depending on if the numbers work, you can use life. You can say, well, we're going to do a Roth conversion at the first death, and we're going to have life insurance to pay the taxes at that conversion. Mm-hmm. Now we have a generationally tax-efficient plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it also speaks to the importance of planning, because if you're going to exercise any of these techniques, you really need to understand how much can you afford to do.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we say a lot is people don't do this planning not because they don't want to, but because they don't know if they can afford to.
Mm, interesting.
So it starts with this assessment of financial independence. Am I financially independent? Do I have all the money that I need, or do I and my spouse have all of the money that I need in order to live the life I want for as long as I may live?
Mm-hmm.
And do I have I planned for contingencies like long-term care or health problems or other things? And if you can confidently check the box yes, and you know how much and which assets those are, anything left over is available to become a great tool for providing legacy. And, you know, if people are thinking, this is great, who can help me with this? The interesting thing is, from my perspective, to do the best outcomes here come when you have a solid team of a financial planner, a CPA, and an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Working, like, all kind of moving in the same direction for mm-hmm. you, because everything that I just described, doing the analysis, in my perspective, that's what planners do best, the strong mm-hmm. ones.
You know, I just had a case, Dave, where I saw attorney, this goes back several years, and an attorney was concerned about the federal estate exemption before it was raised so high. And that also is set to sunset, by the way, sunset in 2026, if nothing else changes, to
yep.
the for the 5 million plus inflation adjustments, which could take it to, you know, 6 million by 2026, for all we know. But had set up this comprehensive estate plan with what we used to call the credit shelter trust, and make sure we use the exemption for both spouses, and all kinds of crazy planning around that to make sure they use the exemption. The rules have changed on that too. I could do a whole show on that. There's something called portability. So if the first spouse dies, they can now, you know, retain their exemption to the second, and it kind of gives them a bigger federal exemption on the second to die spouse. But the attorney had done all this planning, and which told me they were concerned about the federal estate tax, right? They had about $3 million worth of life insurance that the spouse owned individually. And this is where
wow.
sometimes you need a separate set of eyes. So Dave picked up on this right away. I know Dave just picked up on that right away. The wow is, if an attorney was really concerned about a federal estate tax issue, why on earth would the life insurance be held in the individual name? Because as Dave mentioned, if a trust is held done properly, then it wouldn't be included if it's an irrevocable life insurance trust, they call it. And it wouldn't be owned by that spouse, then it wouldn't be in his estate. But if it's owned by him, it is included in the estate. So there was a contradictory planning issue there that, I mean, I saw right away. Dave, I could tell you heard it right away. That doesn't make sense. They should have owned the life insurance and irrevocable life insurance trust. But Dave, we have another caller. We have a caller from Phillipsburg. We have Richard. Richard, hello. Can you hear us?
Hello, yes.
Hi, how can we help you?
Oh, okay. I just wanted to, the question goes to with the younger generation, many who are working part-time jobs, perhaps their employer's pension or retirement options are not well understood.
Mm-hmm.
And is there any kind of advice that you or your guest, David, mm-hmm. has for encouraging people to try to maximize their, you know, input into any plans, and then it's so they could realize some of these benefits.
Sure. Go ahead, Dave, if you want to jump on that first.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's. I think that's a great question. Mm-hmm. The challenge is that always, and particularly younger, not earning a whole lot of money, it starts with, well, what extra money do you have? And you could make the argument, well, anyone has like an extra $20 a week or month. And I'm not of the camp that like everybody does, right? Some people are living really thin. There's not extra money to do this. But if there is, if there's extra money to buy a cup of Starbucks every morning, if there's extra money to, you know, buy three rounds every Friday night, then I would argue there's extra money to start contributing to these plans. And your future self, I heard a great radio show, I wish I could remember the speaker, but he said, think about the conversation and the obligation you have to your future self. Your 10-year, 20-year-older self can be really thankful that you put that $20 a week, if you can find it, $5 a week, or more if you have it, into these plans. So I think if there's a little bit of extra money, it's the old adage, pay yourself first, and these retirement plans are a great way to go. The other piece, if you're thinking how much, one thing I always look at, if your employer is making a match, if you're fortunate enough that your employer's matching any amount into a retirement plan, that is free money. Mm-hmm. That is 100% return on your, well, a dollar for dollar match, 100% return on your investment day one, assuming you stick around long enough. So if you can afford it, at the very least, put enough money into these plans to get full benefit of the match. And if you don't have a group plan, you know, figure out one of the online tools or go to your bank and open up an IRA and get started.
And Richard, and Dave, I'm going to jump in here because we just have a couple minutes left. And Richard, so the employer match is free money. That's a priority when you're talking to younger people if they have this extra cash Dave mentioned. The match is free money. And secondly, if they're in a low tax bracket, the Roth IRA is a great, great option when they're young and they're in low tax brackets to start that compounding. It's the value and power of compounding. So, Richard, I think it's great that you're thinking of family members, and we can't forget that occasionally we do have grandparents who do love their grandchildren, maybe parents who love their children, that if those kids don't have the extra money, they could gift it to them. They could gift you. You could gift those kids money, and they can, you just want to make sure they do put it in the retirement account. So, Richard, I hope that helped, and thank you for your call.
Well, thank you both.
Okay.
I appreciate the feedback.
Okay, great. Have a wonderful night.
And Lori, one other addition, most, at least new retirement plans now have the Roth 401k feature right in there.
That's right.
So if it's employer-based and you're in that lower tax bracket, take a serious look at the Roth option.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm glad you remembered to mention that. So this is, again, Dave, why we like talking with each other so much. So, Dave, we have just a couple minutes left, and I want to make sure that if people would like to reach out to you or contact you at all, what is your website?
It's Elowitch3.com.
And Elowitch is Elowitch, 3.com. And your phone number?
It is 610-295-5909.
Okay, we have a minute, Dave. So is there anything else you want to make sure that you add? Some of these ideas we've talked about?
I would add this. If you went through an estate planning process 2 or 3 years ago and you said to yourself, I've got it done, that's great, but things have probably changed, your situation has changed. It's never a bad idea to take a second look and reconnect with the folks that helped you put the first draft or latest draft together.
Right, and especially since we were talking about the beneficiary IRA, if people named a trust a beneficiary to their IRA or their retirement accounts, it definitely may need to be reviewed again for various reasons.
You can have Nick or Dennis back to spend an hour on those reasons alone, right?
That's right. Dave, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. I can't wait to see you in person.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me again.
Okay, thanks. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you. So again, thank our guest, David Elowich, CFP professional from Elowich 3 LLC. I want to thank our callers this evening for calling in with questions too. That makes the show so much more exciting and so much more interesting, and we love to hear the kinds of questions that you have. You can always send any further questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com, and we have podcasts of prior shows there as well with topics, and they're also available at wdiy.org. Next week, I'm going to circle back to one of our topics that I did not get to finish several weeks ago, which is retirement accounts, 401ks, 403bs, maybe talk a little bit about some self-employed retirement plans, maybe some employee stock purchase plans, ESOP plans, and we'll do that next week. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.